Good evening, everybody, and welcome to show number 163 of the Jimmy Palumbo. That's right, show number one, Carl Nelson. Number one, Doug Van Horn. Or those Yankee fans out there, show number one, Marcus Thames here at Shea. Well, all right, everybody. It's another show, the Jimmy Palumbo Show, here from the Omni in Atlanta. I'm coming to you from downtown Mahwah in the Average Dining Room Studios, of course. Across the glass, your friend and mine, owner of the media capital of the world of Manalapan.
Manalapan.
The wrestling...
Mattawan, but who cares?
I said that on purpose. For some reason, I get Mattawan and Manalapan together. From downtown Mattawan, from the CHOP sports media capital of the world, wrestling, sports, all kinds of different things going on at his home now. Children in the background getting Dave Sturcio here at Shea. What's up, Dave? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jimmy. Feeling good about today, man. We got a lot of cool things to talk about. The Knicks, the Rangers, the NFL draft just came and went. We'll talk a little bit about your time. Another fantastic credit. We got a lot on deck today. I'm very excited about today's show.
Hopefully we'll come inside of an hour, but you never know when I start bullshitting. It's going to be a good show, a fun show. Of course, show number, I can't believe I've done 163 of these. I find that hysterical.
Listen, you haven't quit yet, so congratulations.
I'm still standing. I look like one of those aging boxers in like ESPN puts on like late Saturday night from like 1974 from Mexico City, Jimmy Palumbo. My record's like 63 and 40. You know, right.
40. How does he have 104 fights?
I used to love that. Whenever you could always tell, like, the really good boxers, the most losses they ever had was like three or four. And then You see these journeymen, like, you know, 27 and 19. This guy gets killed all the time. But of course, at the top of the show number 163, I have a baseball card here. Now, this guy, you're not going to remember this guy, but he played an awful long time. You might. Nah, you were too little. No way. From the 1988 card here, Dick Schofield from the Angels. This guy was the son of good old Ducky Schofield, who played the major leagues for 19 years. Now, this guy's your classic shortstop in that era. Not like the Jeter era where the shortstops are like good players. Now, back in the day, your job was to catch the ball and throw it to first. Maybe Volpe could learn a lesson like what he did last night. But this guy batted 230, 56 home runs, 353 RBIs, and 120 stolen bases in 14 years. He played from 83 to 96, played with the Angels, Mets, Toronto, Dodgers, and back with the Angels. His best year, though, was 94. He batted 255, hit four home runs. That's not so bad. Listen, he'd be making like $13 million a year. But he was on the 86 team that lost to Boston in seven, that famous year when they hit so-and-so hit the three-run home run off of I can't think of the pitcher's name. He actually killed himself after he gave up. But he was 9-for-30 in the American League Championship Series, which is like awesome. He won a World Series ring with Toronto, but he got the DNP. He sucked. But he has another funny record. Again, this is why I do this for this only reason. I swear, this is why I do this bit. He has the record. I think this is so funny. Four times he had over 400 at-bats and got less than 100 hits. Wow. That awful stat. That's
a stud right there. It's a stud.
That's a stud. Anyway, he's a minor league manager for years. I loved. Do you remember the GWRBI? Do you know what that means?
Game winning RBI.
Yeah. Okay. They used to be like an official stat. I don't think they do it anymore. Or maybe some stat box does it. But he had 13 as of 1988. He had 13 Goa Ribbies, as we used to call them. Yeah. Anyway, my cousin John's driving off the road if he's listening. And now he's coaching a powerhouse minor league team, the Chattanooga Lookouts. So Dick Schofield, now this guy has been in baseball. Well, first of all, you know he had to be a stud. He was a third pick in the draft back in like 1981 or something like that. But so he's been in baseball for like 50 years, this guy. You know what I mean? I love those older guys. His dad played ball. Like this family, his brother, I think, played. This is a baseball family. Anybody who doesn't do the broadcasting, is not a Fox analysis, is this guy's coaching the Chattanooga Lookouts in 2024. So I love this guy. He's my favorite. He's my favorite card in a while. Dick Schofield. He stunk, though.
All right. Well, listen, in the spirit of my beloved, and I know you have deep, deep analysis on the past series, but we're going to talk about the Rangers for just a hair.
Okay, we can.
Listen, back in the day when hockey was a more physical game and there was guys that are out there just literally.
Nick Fatio.
Just beating the brakes off of people, and they were hired guns. This guy was the New York Rangers hired gun back in the early, mid-80s into the 90s season. His name is Joey Koser. He was an animal. He's my bonus mom Barry's favorite player. She gave me his jersey. So I have his jersey in my closet. But yes, the Rangers 4-0 sweep. I don't know much about Koser other than the fact that he beat the brakes off people, a hired goon, rather. But Rangers cruising.
Well, the way I interpreted all that goon stuff was, and I should know this guy, Gretzky had a protector on the ice when he was on the ice at all times.
Of course.
But somebody drilled Gretzky, like, into because Gretzky weighed, like, 106 pounds. And somebody drilled him into the upper deck, and NHL went, okay, greatest player of all time, Gretzky. We're going to change the rules. You can no longer – all hockey became like all NFL quarterbacks now. You can go nowhere near anybody. Occasionally you get a little bump and run. But, all right, that's a very good one there. Well, we have exciting news here, okay? We have another Patreon. That's right.
And I wonder why that happened. That's so weird. It's like your social media guy knew to promote your Patreon or something.
Yeah, of course. Jimmy Plummo's been telling you to promote that for the last month. Of course, it took last week. However,
listen, I'm listening.
This is a very interesting one. He might have drove off the road while he was doing the Patreon.
Get out of here.
Stephen Diddy signs up for Patreon here at Jay. Everybody knows that Stephen Diddy's a good buddy of mine, works for the Giants. And Dave Sturcio got his miracle start in showbiz as he disappears on me and I disappear. Now you're back. Now you're frozen here. Now what? You're back. Really? What was that all about? Did you see that?
I have no idea. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You were gone, then you're back here at Shea. I don't know. Here anyway, so Stephen Diddy is number 41 on the Patreon. I love it. Also, I got to give a shout out to Daryl Clark because he sent me. This is why I love doing this stupid show. He sent me a Lou Gehrig collector.
Wow.
He saw that my dad was a Lou Gehrig fan.
That is awesome.
This guy sends me cakes and shit. Like, he is, you know what? He is officially, even though he's not number one on the Patreon, he's officially the number one fan of the Jimmy Bull.
Number one in your heart.
Number one in your heart. He said to me, my dad, big Gehrig fan, shows all the different things. I love this stuff. So
that's great.
I appreciate that. I'm sure I don't even know. Did I sign up for anybody commenting? So I got to click the comment.
I'm not seeing any comments yet.
Of course, not yet. We're live too because the StreamYard thing, it doesn't have as many. Are we on LinkedIn? Are we live on LinkedIn?
We're live on LinkedIn, live on Facebook, live on YouTube. And here's the problem. And I just realized this not too long ago. Well, not too long ago. I literally just.
Oh, Daryl Clark checking in here with there a you're welcome. All fans 18 and over. I appreciate that, brother. I really do. Also, shout out to my high school buddy, Bob Sheehan, but I'm also going to give him shit. He grew up a Yankee, Knicks, Mets, like me, regular asshole from Central Jersey.
Wait, Yankees, Mets?
No, he's like, whatever. I forget whether he was all Yankee right. Or Mets. I don't remember. But he was always a Chicago Bear fan. That I knew. I don't know why, but he was. Then he moves to like exit 6 on the turnpike. And all of a sudden, like years later, he's now a Sixers fan. Getting texts from him during the game. I'm like, Bob, you know I'm a Knicks fan. We're good buddies. I love you for the end of time. But like during, you can't text me during a game. Like I don't text Dave when if you know, Tony Romo throws a pick and the first thing, hey, Dave, take that. Like, you don't want to hear me during the game. You don't
wanna,
you know, you only want to hear from your current. So, Bob Sheehan, I love you anyway. I'm busting your balls. And also, I know I love – my nephew – I don't understand Patreon. Everybody knows this. But my nephew canceled his subscription. My godchild canceled his Patreon, which I think is a credit card ran out. So I have now 41 Patreon members, of which the two who have left and come back have been my mother and my godchild. So I am complete shit in the family. my nephew canceled it.
Well, they're tired of hearing the conversation, the same conversation at every holiday. It's like, hey, did you join my Patreon yet?
I don't even mention. I'm always embarrassed to mention. Listen, $3 a month is a lot. But the, I mean, you don't go to Starbucks, get a small Starbucks one day and you cover the cost. Nah, I'm only kidding. I appreciate all my, and also a shout out to Troy. Let me see if I get this name right. Saying it right. Troy Chibero. I got to send you something, bro. I owe you some stuff, some beer league shit. It'll be in the mail by tomorrow. Anyway, so that's good news on the Patreon. Steve Venditti, who's on my text thread every night with my cousin John, my buddy Tommy, Steve Venditti, and Bobby Cristiano. We are the most obnoxious bad fans. If someone gives up a base hit in the first inning, we're screaming at it's so bad. We're horrible. We're horrible fans.
You're Randy Quaid from Major League.
Listen, we're in our 50s. We hate the Giants. We hate the Yankees. We hate the Rangers. We hate the Knicks. But all we do is watch the Yankees, Knicks. it's like our own kids. Like we're allowed to yell at our kids. No one else is. But like the other day, I was screaming at the television. The Yankees were up like 25-2. And they got Stanton running the bases in the eighth inning. Like, what do you get him out of there? You don't need to have him in the game. And by the way, Stanton got – I'm going to get to it. He got thrown out at second yesterday.
Yeah, because he's a bum.
Okay. First of all, but when you – now, when you see the highlight,
I saw the highlight.
The second baseman should have caught it. So Stanton had to go back to the bag. And then come on. That wasn't that – I've seen way worse plays than that. But he is slow as shit. Of course, he's batting two. I think he should lead off. He's batting like 255 now. So I don't know. You're looking for a guy to get on base? Lead off guy.
That's the guy.
Anyway, so of course, the Patches. Now I got to tell you, chasingmiracles.com, sponsor of the show, Tommy and Donna, stem cell patches. You guys, it's all kind of shit your body needs. I will tell you something. I talked to my mother 2 days ago, and she was just hammering home. Her three friends are all in their 80s. They got knee issues, right? Like knee bad. My mother, it's bad. And she was supposed to get surgery. She held off, knee replacement the whole bit. We kind of talked her out of it. She wears these patches. So she tells me, Jimmy, I can't go 3 days. If I go 3 days without these, I can't get out of bed. And then she goes, and my friend, I don't want to say her name because I know her for a long time.
Let's call her Louise.
No. Her friend.
Sounds like an old.
Her friend from Columbia. Her friend from Colonia, who I went to the prom with her daughter, she is like, she don't even move without using these things. So these things really, really work. I'm wearing them right now, and I wear them. I tell you, I've been feeling, I'm on a pickle court. I feel like shit anyway, but I do feel better on the court. I'm not as sore as I normally am. Stamina, energy, muscle strengthening, these things work. Go to chasingmiracles.com and try out the X39 and X49 patches. This shit works. I'm telling you. Oh, now you got a mini jug now? What is that?
No, Snapple.
Things are tight, so you can't get the jug. These things are non-invasive. And there is the jug here. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be doing that and laugh. You choked at that.
I know.
So anyway, chasingmiracles.com. Go check it out. Talk to Tommy and Donna. They are awesome people. All right, let's talk about your New York Knicks. Okay, I have a different take on the Knicks. First of all, I think every game has been close. I do not think this series is over by any stretch of the imagination. And I got to tell you, I thought Brunson, you got, in my lifetime, I remember as a kid, you got Walt Frazier, right? And then it was like Bernard King, who there was a year and a half where Bernard King was like, who's better, Bird or Bernard King? What do you think? That's how good Bernard King was. Then his knee fell off.
That was an actual conversation?
Oh, the one playoff series? That was a seven-game series. Bernard King was like, and Bird, turnaround jumper, yes. And then rebound, that Bernard King. Like, he was, I'm telling you, there was a short time where Bernard King was awesome. And he hurt his knee. And that's how we got Ewing, because the Knicks won three games the next year. but he is playing as well. Brunson is playing as well as Frazier, Bernard King, Ewing, and now, like, you know, put it this way, has anyone, I don't even think about Randall. That's how good Brunson, you don't even think about
I think about Randall when it starts getting physical. Like, I know he would be banging around down there if need be, but like, that's the only time I really think about Randall.
It's not a mock on Randall. This guy is playing as well in this stretch, especially the last 2 months, as any Nick that I can recall. He's unbelievable. He's clearly, without Brunson, Nick lose by 75 every time. But I got to tell you, I thought, and I'm right about this. Thank God I taped the games. I go back and look. I think I become the old man on the lawn. How awful did the 76ers play? I never saw it. This was the worst performance in a playoff game. The fourth quarter, they were like throwing the ball out of bounds. Embiid all of a sudden gets the ball inside to Embiid, and he's looking to throw it out to the guy who stinks. Like, he passing out of bounds. They were dribbling off their feet. And I'm like, this guy Maxey is the best player on the court. And they didn't touch the ball. Then they missed like the last 11 shots they took. So I'm telling you, Knicks fans, do I think we can win the series? Of course. We're up 3-1.
Back to the Garden tonight.
All it takes is a bad loss at the Garden, and all of a sudden, everybody's asshole will be tight. This series is not over. Excuse my language for anybody listening in their car with their kids, but that's exactly what's going to – even your kid's asshole is going to get tight.
A little pucker.
And Miles wants to talk it over. I just think the Knicks are fun to watch. I think the Knicks – I said it. I'll say it again. The Knicks have one unbelievably playing equal with anybody in the league right now, Brunson. And instead of having, like, all shitty guys, they have, like, five – good players. No one's great. After Brunson, no one on that team is great. But let me tell you, during the game, guys check in. You're like, oh, this guy can do his thing. And if one guy sucks one night, the other guy scores 13.
And we did that whole game without Mitchell Robinson, and right. Bogdanović got hurt early. So
yeah, now is Bogdanović out?
I haven't looked at any of the injury reports.
I haven't read anything. Anyway, yeah. So I just think the Knicks. I don't think the Knicks can win the whole thing. I just don't, because maybe I'm a bitter Knicks fan. But I think they're going to be a pain in the ass no matter who they play. I do, except the Celtics. They're dominant. Anyway, but Porzingis went down. So Knicks are fun to watch. Can't wait for tonight. The New York Rangers, they won. They did what they had to do. Swept them. Big win there. I told Dave I did a really in-depth analysis of the Rangers. And what I think the key to the series was simple. I think the Rangers scored more goals in every game, and that allowed them to sweep. I mean, I spent a good 2 hours going over. I looked at different things, assists.
It doesn't get much more thorough. It doesn't get much more thorough than that.
ESPN wants to hire me as a do analysis pregame show. I got to admit, I don't know shit.
Can you imagine a world where you were actually hired for a pregame NHL show? You'd be sitting there just like, I would
be like, Rangers here with the blue and white Rangers with a little red there. Of course, the gorgeous uniforms on the other team. Look at them. They're so bright and clean. And, the reason why I love playoff hockey is because it's so unfair. Like, the Rangers will have like 8 shots on goal, save. And then it gets kicked out to the left. Like, it's like you go from joy to death in the Islanders the other night, double overtime. Like, the energy was blasting the Islanders. Next thing you know, that game.
It's just like that.
And like football, at least you do get a pick six every now and then that wins a game. But usually football is a bad punt. Team takes over at the 40. You know, CD Lamb catches the ball to the 45 of the other. It's like a little. It's like this is like, boom, you're dead. And that is, if you're ever in a car listening to playoff hockey on the radio, which I did twice, back in '94, I did it. You literally have to drive off the road because you're like the announcer's like shot wide clear. No, say.
Shout out to Don LaGreca, who's the voice of the Rangers most of the time. He's been doing an incredible job. just based off the highlights I'm listening, because obviously I'm watching the game on TV, but he does an incredible job with the play-by-play. That's got to be the hardest. I've done a hockey game as like a charity event, and like I was like, dude, what? And
these are to do that.
These are 35 to 40 year old men, police officers playing hockey against a high school team, and I'm just like, kicked out to that guy. That guy sent it over to that guy. It's like, but hockey, like the names in hockey, they're all Russian and Polish, yeah. And like nobody.
Then Chenov, like, Chekhov,
the Panajed. And I'm like,
it's hard. And they send it in. How about, remember Jim Gordon, the old Giant announcer, used to do it. He'd be like, shot, wide, save, no, goal, no, I thought it was in. How about the jerk off? First of all, here's another thing. All you kids out there are so stupid. How about the old days? There used to be a guy behind the goal. He was the guy who determined whether it was a goal or not. You know that?
Yeah.
But like, he would just sit there like, why? And a 90-mile-an-hour fastball comes in. Well, he didn't see shit. This guy. Oh, my like God. It's
blur.
Like, unbelievable. And Sal, Red Light Messina. Steven, did he definitely just drove off the
road there? You can't have him driving off the road anymore, Jimmy. We need
I know. He's part of my Patreon. I got to tell his family he's part of his estate. Anyway, Rangers are fun. Yankees are doing well. They have a good record, but they have 5 shutouts. They've been shut out 5 times. It's April 30th. I'm telling you right now, Yankees aren't going anywhere. They just don't hit. They just don't hit. They don't put
contact. They just don't hit. Jimmy, they just don't hit. 30 runs over the weekend. Yeah,
okay.
30.
Against Carter Red High. Yes, baseball. It does. Yeah, they played Baltimore. Pitching was a little bit better. And Chopper, the third, fielded cleanly, checks the stitch, fires across the diamond. That was the most pathetic game. They don't hit. They've been shut out 5 times since April.
It's alarming.
Listen, and by the way, it's not like they're like hard balls hitting right. They're like, the Yankees lead the league and Chopper's the second and Chopper's the short. The guy comes across. It's like he feels so relaxed. Anyway, Stanton's got 6 home runs. That's all I care about. When he's not in the lineup, I don't even watch. But you can't – all Yankee fans, if you're a Nick or Ranger fan, and Bobby Cristiano, my cousin John, are part of this, I don't even know why I have the Yankee game on, because it is Nick Ranger time. The Yankees are on the back burner. I know Lindor hasn't – you know, for you Met fans who are Ranger fans, Lindor's got like 4 hits on the year. He stinks too. But it's just not baseball right now. Soon as the Knicks and Rangers get beat, I'll focus that, and that'll be the way it goes.
I choose the NFL draft over okay. The fucking baseball right now.
Well, the NFL draft, Giants, of course, we'll talk about it briefly. Giants drafted Jim Nabors, a.k.a. Malik Nabors, and Tyler Newbin, Drew Phillips, and the tight end from Penn State, who I think stinks, Theo Johnson. And they finally took I'm curious about the running back they took in the 5th round. Tyrone Tracy sounds like a great player, because I'm convinced that 3 years from now he'll be either the starting running back on the Panthers or the Jets. this is a textbook on why you don't take a running back early in the draft.
You could be the Cowboys and not take one at all.
I've been saying this about the draft. It's the most obnoxious television. I would rather watch American Idol than the NFL draft. Now, I watch the draft, okay? Because all it is like, okay, next up, then you got Mel Kiper's yelling and screaming, all these different players. And then they choose it. Everyone's like, oh, people booing. And I'm thinking like, you know, the guys have played it down yet. Like, you have no idea. You could there should be a show. This is a show I want to host called either A, Shitty Draft Picks. And we go over. We have an NFL draft with the same setup live from, you know, Mexico City. 1,000 people watching. And all we do is go over each team's shitty draft picks, have everybody with their fans on. Like, back in 2020, the Giants selected, he sucked. That would be such a great event. And all you do is go over draft picks that everybody booed, and then they're all – because how many times are you watching an NFL game and you go – well, I texted this to you. Like, I'll be watching the Giants play the Cowboys and some linebacker will make a big hit. Well, what the hell's that guy? When did the Cowboys get him? 4th round pick 4 years ago. You know, he had 190,000 tackles at Toledo. he's like 31 years old. He's been, you know.
I never forget. It was a couple of years back. The Cowboys drafted Leighton Vander Esch, who just retired from football because of neck injuries. But they were talking about how his side-to-side ability as a linebacker was really good. And I'm just like, oh, I wonder why they said it. It's like, well, you know, he played in this college where they played 8-on-8. It's like, what?
So he had to go side to side.
Yeah, no, a lot. You know, it's like, wait, hold on.
That's so funny. And yeah. So true. So I don't know. The Giants draft, I guess they did okay. I'm glad they took a receiver. I want the Giants to go the old ways. Like, the Giants are all these nice men. They're always up for man of the year. I want the Giants to go the other way. Like, Giants once again lost another receiver. He got caught last night in Patterson. He'll be suspended in 5. I want to go like 3 years. I want to go like 13-3, and no one likes any of their players. That's what I want.
Cowboys took a guard in like the third or fourth round, and they're like, his comp is Richie Incognito. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, like, man, Richie Incognito was like basically blackballed out of the league for being too mean to people. I was like, I like it. I like it. Let's go.
You want something like that? Yeah. Because everybody, you know, everybody's got a rap record anyway, it seems like. Anyway, that's the draft. Horrific experience. How do you think the Cowboys did? All right. I guess you don't even know that.
I like their draft. The glaring need was running back, and they did not address it because they had something in the back pocket yesterday. I woke up to – listen, my Sunday into Monday was incredible. We had the Yankees win 15 runs, had the Rangers sweep, had the Knicks win a playoff game, and Monday morning I wake up and Ezekiel Elliott is back with the Cowboys. I'm so pumped. Like, I know a lot of people, he's washed. He can't run no more. He's not – I'm like, I'm not asking for the same Zeke we had in 2016. He's a short yardage back, and he's serviceable. Let it go, man. Like, get off.
I'm a Giant fan. He's a fucking Cowboy. That's the way it is. He's back on the Cowboy. That's the way it should be. Pat Volkmer is still sleeping. He doesn't know that Ezekiel is on the team. That's cool. Yeah, nobody really knows. There's the only draft pick, and Deion Sanders, this guy from Maryland, the quarterback, not Maryland, Washington, who was at Maryland, Penix.
Oh, Penix. That's what I meant.
First of all, the reason why the draft pick is dumb, sometimes like the Saquon Barkley, okay? You don't take a running back at number two. You just don't. You can get another one later on. And when you sign a quarterback – like Cousins, who's a serviceable quarterback. I actually think he's pretty good.
Me too.
And you give him $100 million. That's salary cap, man. And NFL, that salary cap is really brutal. And then you sign this guy and you have to give him money. They're going to – and he's not a young – he's not like 21. He's 24. And now what do you do? Hey, Cousins – teach this guy or you're banking on an injury every
NFL. No. So
a bad pick.
In reality, there was a little bit of a rumor going around that there was tampering charges to be filed against Minnesota, against Atlanta for getting involved with Cousins before the time was allowed. Right. And if that comes true, that contract becomes null and void. Right. Like, so all of a sudden they're like, that could be your backup plan. But in that regard, the contract they gave him, they do have an out after 2 years of having like null years.
Same with Daniel Jones?
Something like that, yeah. So the pick about Penix, fine. But if you ride out 3 of those 4 years, yeah, man, Penix is 27, hasn't taken a snap yet. So, like, I didn't understand it at all. The Falcons have so many other needs. I didn't get it at all, man.
And they also need help on defense. There was other players.
They need help everywhere. The Falcons weren't any good last year. So, it's like.
Right. So, I don't know. I don't get that pick. Other than that, everything else is all bullshit. Which, of course, brings us to what we didn't do last week, or we jammed it in the last 5 minutes. This is our new part of the show, and it's sponsored by cornholelevel.com. That's right. Dave's been struggling with a bad cornhole for years. So what does he do? He gets a new cornhole leveler. His wife approves of it. You just hook it right on your cornhole, and then you're able to balance this board just right. So I'm not a perfect demonstration. I want to go on QVC with this. And there it is right there. I got mine. Says Rutgers. They have other teams. And they're $19.95. And you, of course, get a 20% off your entire order of if you put in JP Show, cornholelevel.com. They're a fine sponsor. Mike Caprio, my second baseman on Corona. Even though he's a Met fan, he's still a good guy. Check these things out. They work. You don't want to go to a party and have a shitty cornhole board. It's embarrassing. Get yourself together. Which brings us to Jimmy's credits.
Let's go. I'm pumped about this one this week because obviously we've covered a lot from, you know, from Friends to Entourage to, you know, Law and Order. But like this one, I want to know how much this one puts you on the map, because I think Curb Your Enthusiasm is one of those shows. And I'm not an avid fan of the show. I should be. My father is. I did like Seinfeld, so there's no reason why I shouldn't have dove into this show. My wife loves this show. Her dad loves this show. This was a very, very big show. So I want to know, one, obviously stories about Larry David, but two, did this really propel you to a lot more? Because I mean, like, it's just, it's Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know? So again, elaborate to the masses.
Well, this was an awesome booking. And it was like, I got like 8 parts to this booking. This is like I mentioned some of this on the air before, but I'll really put it together. So what happens is Curb Your Enthusiasm shoots in Los Angeles. Okay. And by the way, shout out to Tyson Hogan listening, just came in on the comments. So they shoot in LA. Now, right around now, I used to come home from LA because like I had a shore house with my buddies, and they're like, people are like, who summers in New Jersey? I'm like, you have no idea. Shut your mouth, stupid LA people. So I would come home right around now, and I always had good representation in LA and good reps in New York, always. And I came home all the time. If I came home for 5 days, I let my agents know me. I'd get auditions for different things. But I showed up. I got home, I think, on a Tuesday or something like that. Boom. Thursday, I get an audition for Curb. And I'm like, oh, man, is this shooting in L.A.? I have to go back to L.A. I wasn't sure. But then they're like, no, the season finale. And by the way, when it comes to season finales, you want me at the plate. Game 7, Jimmy Plumbo lights it up, okay? I mean, I've done like 5 ER, Friends, Drew Carey show. Everybody forgets about that double down the line, right? So I get the audition. I go to the audition. And to me,
is it L.A. or New York?
New York. I hope this isn't boring anybody with this, but I find this fascinating because it's, you know, 20 years ago. I go there, and in the room, you got to understand, this was a cool show. Now, Curb wasn't the hit like it became, like really from this season on, to be honest with you. But it was one of those cool HBO shows, the actor shows. Like everybody, this was Larry David didn't give a fuck. He didn't listen to HBO.
A lot of people played themselves, right?
Like they played themselves. Cool. It was right. Like the hip and cool show to book, right? And I was only a semi fan at the time. I watched it, but I wasn't like all in like I became. So I get there and I get into this room. It's a big room. And I see every major actor in New York City on Broadway. I guess because they knew it was a different show coming in. I walk in. I'm like, oh, man, look at that guy. I know that guy's on that show. It was like Jordan, LeBron. And here comes Jimmy Plumbo checks in at the 505 mark, right? So I'm like, what am I doing?
Somebody's in foul trouble.
Right. He checks in. Jimmy Plumbo, 6 points a game, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 8 teams in 9 years. So I walk in the room, and the casting director sees me. And she had casted me in some Spin City, I think it was. And she walks in and she goes, oh, hey, Jimmy. And she says it in front of this whole group. And she gives me, you only got a little strip of paper. And all the paper said was the scenario. And mine said something like, you greet Larry David at the hotel. That's all it said. And she sees me. She goes, Jimmy, what piece of paper do you have? And I showed it to her. She goes, I quote. She's like, oh, no, that's much too small of a role for you. Right in front of all these, no, it was like that's like Aaron Boone saying, no, he's got to play every day for us. Like, what he's like, right? So I look around and I did that. Like, my face was like, oh, of course you're right. Like, you know, but I said that, I was like, ooh, you go. So, and it said on the piece of paper, Larry David, you're a bellman, and Larry David gives you a tip. That's all it said. All right. So I checked with my buddy Mark DiCarlo, who had done Curb, and he said, Jimmy, you really don't overdo it. He doesn't like that. He likes it real, awkwardly real. So just play it. All right. I took that note. We go into this room. The room was like 4x5 with Jeff Garlin, who was heavier at the time, sitting on a chair, and Larry David. And Larry David looks just like Larry David. He's like, he's all frazzled. He's like, you know. He goes, okay, who are you, Jimmy Plumbo? All right, okay. And he goes, well, what scenario do you have? And she goes, all right. He kind of gives me what the interaction is. And I do a scene, like improv, totally improv. And he's like, oh, I gave you the $20 and going on. And I'm just looking back and I'm not really doing that much. So it gets on. He looks at Jeff. He goes, oh, that was good, right? Good. Yeah. All right. Good. Yeah. All right. And then I bring the next guy in. That's all he said. So I'm like, I walked out of there. Awful experience that was. So I leave. Next thing you know, I booked the damn thing, which was awesome. So I show up. They said, go to the theater where the producers, the play is actually going on. I didn't know this. I didn't know the plot line of that season because it hadn't been on the air yet. That season didn't start airing. Right. So I show up on West 43rd, a big theater. One of those producers was a huge Broadway show at the time. And I show up there. And next thing you know, I see, what's his name? Colbert is there. Before he was Colbert, he was just another jerk off actor like me. And I'm waiting around and a lady comes up and goes, oh, Jimmy, your trailer is on 44th and 8th. Oh, now trailers usually mean is a big block of trailers and there's four of them. They call it a four banger. And yours is a little slot. It's like 2 feet by 8. You go in there. That's your space for the week. So I see a little mini RV, one of those like ones that a family would take up to like Buffalo from New Jersey, right? Not a big one at all. And so I see, oh, I'm like, oh, that's weird. They gave me a trailer like that? That's kind of odd. So I open up the door, and who's in there? First guy I see, the first face that I see is David Schwimmer from Friends. Okay. And I go,
This is after Friends.
Yes. I go, yes, oh, right. I go, oh, hey, oh, sorry. He goes, no, are you doing Curb? I said, yeah. He goes, oh, no, this is it. I walk in, Paul Mazursky's in there, famous director. And that guy did that little show on NBC, Seinfeld. Yeah, Jerry was there. So they're in this room. Now I'm like, okay, I just walked in on Jordan and LeBron during the shoot around. And I'm like, hey, guys, I can shoot threes too. Like, I didn't say a word. I had my Bellman outfit on. There was nowhere to sit. So I just stood there like a baboon. I would never do this now. I'd be wait, be wait. So I see David Schwimmer. And I'm like, hey, man. I said, it's nice to meet you. I said, I did an episode, of Friends, and he first went like, yeah, like, is it like who cares? And then I went, yeah, that one, you know, with Debbie Mazur. As soon as I said Debbie Mazur, he knew that scene because that scene was a very popular scene. He goes, oh yeah, I do remember you. Yeah, yeah, we're going on. As soon as he said that, I got the other three guys, Richard Kind, I think was in there as well. I got the seal of approval from David Schwimmer, who couldn't have been nicer. And he was a nice guy on the set. He was a nice guy on Curb as well. He seems like a really nice guy. And so now I'm like, I'm doing that. Like, all right, like I gotta get changed. Like, I'm not bearing my balls hanging out in front of these three guys. You know what I mean? Jerry Seinfeld couldn't give a fuck. Just didn't care about it. He didn't even look.
Happy birthday, Jerry Seinfeld. He's 70 yesterday.
Happy birthday. Yeah. He's a jerk off, I think. So anyway, so you know, in the back of an RV, they got the little shade thing, like to close the bed. Like little, and this was not a big one. So like, this was one where you had to, I can't describe how small this RV was. So I go back and I'm about to grab the door. And just as I grab the door, that one of those shitty sliders, I see a woman's foot hanging out. And as I grab it, they all yell at me, hey, 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 what are you doing? Cheryl's back there. I said, oh, I just got to get changed. And the guy goes, yeah, Cheryl Hines, she's pregnant. She's taking a nap. And I went, like a jerk. I went like, oh, I know Cheryl. Like I said it like, yeah, like she played third base for 4 years on my softball team, right? So then I had to go into the bathroom to change. Now, have you ever gotten changed inside an RV bathroom?
It's like an airplane bathroom.
Okay, it's smaller than that. I had to drop my pants, then stick my leg outside of the door to get it in. I'm like struggling with this. You know what I mean? So I finally get it in. Blah blah blah. And I sit there. Small talk, but I didn't really. I stood. I didn't know what to do. This is before like cell phones. I think I had like a StarTAC. I was texting somebody. So I'm sitting there, and then I realized the Cheryl Hines. And I have to. I'm going to interwove the Cheryl Hines story. Cheryl Hines was married to a guy named Paul Young. Paul Young was partner with my manager. They were Principato Young Entertainment. They're huge now. They're called Artists First. They're one of the top management companies in LA, in the United States, right? And I was at the office one day, and Paul brought his son, a little baby, 2 or 3 years old, Miles' age maybe, something like that, blonde hair, blue eyes, adorable little kid. So I had nephews at the time. And next thing you know, I'm rolling around the floor while Paul's on a phone call. Actually, like, I was doing him a favor. Like, some client is playing with my kid while I could take calls. I'm rolling around with the kid. I'm rolling the ball back and forth. Like, I had five nephews, so I was a pro. Like, I'll entertain this kid. We walked all the way around. We were saying hello to assistants. And I just got to know this kid for about 20 minutes, right? Cut to 8 months later. I have Tom Bolster, Mousy, from Game Day, which led to Beer League. We're meeting out for lunch. And we're out waiting out in front of the place, waiting for Tom. And Tom shows up. Or Tom was waiting for me. I'm always late. And we start BSing. And all of a sudden, I see this Mexican lady come up with a stroller with a baby. Okay? And I look at Tom, and I go, oh, that's so funny. That's Cheryl Hines' kid. Cheryl Hines, you know, the improv. She's on Curb right now. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, that baby right there, it's definitely Cheryl Hines' kid. He's looking at me like, what a random thought that is. You look at a baby with a Mexican woman with this blue-eyed, blue head. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm telling you. And she stood in front of the restaurant. I said, I guarantee you, like Mama Bear, Cheryl Hines will be here very soon. Next thing you know, who comes walking up? Cheryl Hines. I see her, and she was at the office at that day when she picked up the kid. And she goes, oh, hi. I said, hi. I said, hi, Cheryl. I said, I'm Jimmy Palumbo. I'm with, you know, your husband's company. She goes, oh, I remember you. Yeah, yeah. So now she picks up the baby, and we're having a bad small talk conversation. Oh, that's nice. Like, she remembered me, but not really. So she's holding the baby up, right? And I'm like a foot away. We're talking. Now, my buddy Tom is like, Jimmy's talking to Cheryl Hines like it's no big. Inside, of course, I'm like, oh, my God, this is. And she's hot, too. So I'm holding the baby up. The baby, in mid-conversation, lunges towards me. Okay? Dude. I scoop up the baby from her arms and continue the conversation and start patting his back without, there was no delay. It was like a running one-hander. Good, right? So
a baby whisperer.
Right? So all of a sudden Cheryl gets like, the fuck is going on? What was that? So I'm talking about, who knows what I was talking about? Some bullshit, right? My buddy Tom now, I can see in his face, he's out of his mind. I'm talking to Cheryl Hines like I went to the prom with her. Now I'm holding her kid like it's no big deal. She's like, oh, she goes, oh, look at you, you're good with kids. I said, yeah, I got nephews. And then she's like, oh, she goes, that's weird. He doesn't go to anybody except me and the Mexican lady who just took off. He doesn't even go to my husband, Paul. He just doesn't. You know? And I'm like, oh, I got nephews running around the house. No big deal, right? She takes him back. She goes inside. As soon as she gets inside, my buddy Tom, he's like, what the? Are you kidding me? And I'm like, no, dude, I met her once, whatever. I know the kid. The kid probably smelled me or something. I don't know. The kid remembers me. I don't know. Kids are weird that way. He goes, we can't go in there. We are not going into that restaurant now. We have to go somewhere else. I can't deal with this. And all of a sudden, Cheryl Hines comes back out. I see your dog. There you go. Get him out of the way.
It's a cat.
Cat, dog, whatever. So next thing you know, Cheryl Hines comes back out. And I thought she was going to say, you know, you really shouldn't. I thought she was going to say, you really shouldn't, like, pick up other kids or, you know. And she goes, you know what? You must be a really good guy. Because kids, I swear to God, she got like a deep, she goes, because kids know. And she went back inside. I was like, and my buddy Tommy was like, down goes Frazier. So I'm in the RV now. Cut to that little woven story about that. So I'm in the RV. Next thing you know, the day before I booked the show, that Saturday, my father went to a shitty barbecue in Long Island. Okay. All barbecues in Long Island are shitty. So it takes you 7 hours to get there on the LIE. Anyway. And I'm telling him about that. I booked the show on the phone. He doesn't know Kirby. My father didn't know anybody. And all of a sudden, I hear a guy in the background go, oh, Larry David, Kirby. I go, Dad, who is that? He goes, my friend Joe Rizza. He used to play third base for us back in the 50s. Joe Rizza, can you get a better name than this? Gets on the phone. He goes, Jimmy, oh, I haven't seen you since you were a kid. I think I was at your communion. He goes, yeah, I know Larry David. But he's going, I'm thinking, how the fuck is this Joe Rizza? He goes, they did a whole episode about me on Seinfeld, touching all the fruit. That was me. I own that stand on 8th Avenue. Going on and on. I'm like, oh, all right. I didn't know. I wasn't a Seinfeld expert. So he goes, when you get there, tell him Joe said hello. He'll know me. He said it like, tell Dave Stern Show, Jimmy Plummo said hello. Yeah, whatever, right? So time to get to the set now. We go to the set, and we rehearsed a little bit, camera set. We're on the street now, okay? Street of New York City, and I'm wearing a doorman outfit. People are coming up asking me for directions for the subway. I'm like, no, I'm just an actor. They were looking at me like, what? So there was a moment, Larry David standing right next to me, and all of a sudden I felt like, yeah. Like, I'm part of the club now. Like, I'm on the Knicks. Here we go. I said, hey, Larry, friend of the family, Joe Rizzo, says hello. He immediately goes ballistic on me. What, that Joe? He's such an asshole. He starts screaming at me. And all the crew's like, what did this boob just say to Larry David, the Supreme Allied Commander, who pretty much wrote every word on Seinfeld, and he wrote every word on the show, screaming at this asshole actor. And there it is. He's screaming at me. And I'm like, no, Joe Rizzo, he said to you, he goes, he was a jerk off. When you go to a fruit stand, you touch the fruit to see which is fresh. Everybody does that. He's yelling at me, going on, blah, blah, screaming and yelling. He goes, his fruit was expensive. I would end up going down two blocks away for a cheaper. He's going on and on. And then he stops and goes, I did a whole episode about it on Seinfeld. You never saw it. I said, no. He goes, yeah. Then he goes, yeah, tell Joe I said hello. So I went from like, but none of the crew heard, tell Joe I said hello. All they heard is Larry David screaming at boob, right? So then we do the scene, okay? We do the scene. And the other actors, okay, one of the actors, a guy named Zachary Levi. Look him up. He's been in like 90 movies. He's a star now. They were like looking at me like, oh, why did that jerk off get like the better scene? You know what I mean? So me and Larry are doing the scene where he's giving me the money. Larry David, and by the way, this is all 100% true, or my interpretation of the truth, but this happened. I wouldn't make a joke about this. He stops. No cut. He stops and goes, what are you doing? And I'm like, but by the way, I thought I was doing, I was Laurence Olivier at this point, right? What are you doing? You're not doing anything. He goes, do you know why you booked this? I'm like, Joe Rizzo? I don't know. he goes, because you, and he got nasty. He goes, because you did absolutely nothing in your audition. Now, every actor, I can see their faces. They're like, they hired the wrong guy, right? So I'm like, all right. I turned red. I was like, wow, he just called me a shitty, I suck, right? We do the next. So now I'm like, okay. He goes, you're doing too much. So I said, all right, fuck this guy. The next take, when I tell you, Dave, it was like I did it as if I've been smoking pot every night since 1974. I was completely comatose. I didn't even move. I didn't move my shoulder. I was like, I didn't do anything. He stops it again and says loudly, okay, now you're doing nothing. After telling me to do, like now I'm like, what does this guy want me to do? He wants me to run the ball? I threw a pass? I don't know what to do here, right? I felt like the Seahawks at the one. So I'm like, all right. So then I do another take, and he goes, okay. Split the difference, which at this point, I didn't know what I was splitting. I was like, yeah. So finally, I did it. And then after like the fifth take, he's like, okay. Like he didn't really say anything to me. Then we do another take, right? He comes over to me. You think that was good? Like it went from being you're a dick to this, but next thing you know, he's asking me, Larry David is asking me like if I thought his performance was okay. And I was like, yeah, that was good. You know? Like, you know, hey LeBron, yeah, nice shot. Like, what do you want me to do? I felt like a young Kiki Vandeweghe on the team. You know, I'm like, Venditti definitely just drove off the road. So I'm sitting, so then we go inside the door. And now I'm in next to the revolving door, and the hotel didn't close. It was that big-ass hotel in New York, not the Plaza, the Millennium or something. It's where a lot of international travelers. Now, I'm dressed as a doorman with their costumes. So people are coming in. They didn't shut the door, asking me, where's room? Where's this? And I'm like, eventually, I just started, elevators to the right. I just started, you know, telling them where to go. One guy asked me the subway. I was like, take the N, take that down to 23rd, get off, switch, you know. All of a sudden, and this is, again, you had to be there. It's funny only to me. Guess who came walking through the door, the revolving door? Seinfeld. The entire cast of NYPD Blue. Do you understand that? And I was on NYPD Blue, and they all come walking through. And Larry sees him, and what's his name? Sipowicz sees him and goes, "Hey, Larry, next thing you know," I'm like, "This is insanity. I'm meeting all these stars, and here I am just chipping in my 3 points a game. You know, I'm inbounding the ball." And they're going around, and it's like all this stuff. So then they all leave. So the director comes up to me and goes, "Hey, Jimmy, do you watch the show?" I said, "Yeah, Robert Wide, I think that's how you pronounce it, W-E-I-D-E. He goes, "Hey, you watch the show, right?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "You know the stare down? You know, when it goes, do-do-do-do." I said, yeah, that's cool, right? He goes, "Larry wants to do it with you." He goes, "That's a cool thing. Like when Larry asks, when he picks out the actor," I'm like, all of a sudden I felt like, here we go. I started to wiggle the bat a little bit. I look like a young Ruben Sierra, right? So I'm like, all right. So he goes, "But Larry likes to spring it on the actor live during a take. And it never works because it's not fair to you if you don't know the stare down's coming and there's no music in the background. It just doesn't work." So I always whisper to the actor, "It's coming." I was like, "All right." I said, "Well, any advice on, you know, how to," he goes, "You know what? Just stare back at him and move your head a little bit. Look at his nose, his eyes, his ears, and that's it. Because that's what he's going to be doing to you." Okay. Next thing you know, we do the next take, and all of a sudden, Larry goes, okay. And then he just starts to stare at me, moves his head a little bit. And in my head, I'm going, do, 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 do. I almost move my lips. I've told you this before. I almost like, do, 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 do. So I'm going back. And it went on like, in the edit, it was the way they shot it. It was long. I was like, fuck. I held my own. I just keep on looking at his nose. He's looking at my nose hairs, my ear. And then all of a sudden he goes, okay. And then they yell cut. And he was like, "Good job. You did that right." I'm like, now me and Larry are buddies now. You know what I mean? Of course, years later, and if you go online, Curb Your Enthusiasm stare downs coming in at number 6. Your friend and mine, Jimmy Palumbo, number 6 spot. That's, you know, in a historic show, I think that's pretty cool. The number 6 absolutely. Ranked stare down. So it was a great show to do. When it came on, people went nuts, all the agents, casting directors. And then I auditioned for a lot of shows after that where you had to improv because they were like, "Oh, let's get actors from Curb," that kind of thing. Mm. But also, I realized later on, Maddie Corman, my wife in Beer League, she was also on the show. Teddy Kaluka, an actor here, great guy. He was also on the show. Stephen Colbert and Zachary Levi, who are they're big stars now, I would say. So their careers went up, and Jimmy Palumbo wants to talk it over. So that's it. That's my Curb Your Enthusiasm story. It was an awesome thing to do. I can only imagine working with Larry David must be insane because he's just crazy. But it's by far the greatest. I get arguments with people. Everybody loves Seinfeld, right? Mm-hmm. But I think Curb, when you watch Seinfeld now, you feel Larry David's writing. You just feel it. But I think it was almost over the top. And Curb Your Enthusiasm is really, I'm willing to bet that's the show he really wanted to do. I mean, it just.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you got a contract with NBC, you got to dumb it down. You know what I mean? Like, right. Can't do with everything you want.
Right. So I just love it. Some people, they just don't get that show. I don't know. I don't trust their judgment. But of course, Pine Tar Bar and Grill, 121 South Main Street, is the sponsor here at Shea. And Rich Meyer, the one-man band, is going to be down there Friday night. Go check it out. Pine Tar is 609-489-4286. They got games on, TVs, Knicks, Rangers, NFL, whatever the hell. Any sport. They got like women's tennis. They have it on. It's the best sports bar in America, which brings us to a couple of things we got to bring up. Maybe we'll keep this show to a minimum today. Do you remember a couple of months back? I don't know if you were doing the show with me or was it Chris when the whole Free Britney Spears thing came on?
Like Free Britney that? When she was going crazy?
When she was with the conservatorship and all that.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't remember who was doing the show, but I remember
okay,
the time.
Okay. I made a prediction. I was like, I need to find out exactly how much Britney Spears is worth today. And then I want to see in a certain amount of time. I said, I predicted, I feel like a young Kyle here. I predicted that Britney Spears will be dead broke as soon as her father's not in charge of the money, right? But I haven't heard anything in a while. She got Big Book came out, bestseller, right? Blah, blah, blah. And then I open up the New York Post, and they're already saying her spending's out of control. She's private jetting all over the place. She hasn't done anything in 6 years besides her book, which is paying her a decent amount. And they're like, concerned friends. Now, again, this is one of those gossip BS articles, but they're like, she's blowing through private jets, $25,000 a night places in Zanzibar, those cities you don't even know where the hell it is and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, Brittany. Okay, so tell your father, dad, I want the checkbook back. Okay, Brittany, here's your checkbook. Do whatever you want with it. I guarantee you in 2 or 3 years, you're going to hear the announcer say, and Britney Spears wants to talk it over here. $60 million. She's down to $500,000. Her kids are being pulled from the private school, and they will be at Carteret and Linden High, respectively. So that's my prediction there. Also, I was supposed to run the 5K on May 11th. I can't do it May 11th because my daughter has a competition. If I can pull it off early in the morning, I will if I have to be there later, but it doesn't look that way. So I have to boost that to the next weekend. I'll be running in Mahwah, downtown Mahwah. You know what? I'm going to make it like I just didn't like the course in Ramsey. I have to mix it. I didn't like the course. My people say, let's get out of this. No, I have to go to my daughter's thing. I still think I'm going to finish. If I can finish under 31 minutes, I don't know. It's going to be a rough go there. It's going to be a little warmer. I should have signed up for one with a little, again, bad management. I should have done one like now when it's like 65 degrees. Mm-hmm. It'll be 85 degrees. I'm going to look like a beached whale down in Belmont. I'll look like one of those chicks at Leggett's. And I'll get in trouble for that. So also this weekend, I have my daughter's confirmation. Natalie Joan will get her confirmation. I'm excited about that. We're going out to dinner afterwards. That should be fun.
Did she have to do an interview or anything like that with the, like the priest or the deacon or anything like that?
Yeah, you got to go through. Yeah, there's a whole program for it. You got to go.
Yeah, no, I just remember when I got confirmed, I remember distinctly because my father had to sit there with me, like as I went through this interview process of like almost like a test, you know, like they might ask you the commandments. They might ask you a couple things here and there to make sure you know all your stuff.
No, they don't do it quite. That's how they did it when
I don't remember exactly. But the only thing I remember about my interview process was that I kept repeating to the deacon or the priest or whoever. I was like, I don't know, but I'm ready. My dad was like, Dave, you can't keep saying you're ready. They know you're ready, but you got to know shit. Right. I don't know, but I'm ready. I'm ready.
They got away from like name the 10 sacraments or seven sacraments and stuff like that. 10 commandments.
Oh my God, Jimmy, Jesus Christ. Seven sacraments, 10, whatever.
No, 10 commandments, seven. So they try to make it more up here anyway. The lady felt like we got to like, make these kids want to go, make it more enthusiastic and stuff like that. But my sister's a sponsor. They have a rehearsal on Thursday, which she's aggravated. She's got to drive an hour. Now she's happy to do it. I'm only kidding. I'm throwing my sister under the bus. But that should be fun this weekend. Also, I bartended last weekend. And I will tell you this. It was for the Ridgewood Junior Women's, Ridgewood, New Jersey, which Ridgewood is – Ridgewood makes Westfield look like Linden. And that joke is so funny if you're from Central Jersey. nobody gets it. I'm convinced nobody got. I might as well do this in a cave. The acoustics will be better too. So I realize that. But let me tell you something. It was like the NFL draft of cornerbacks. There was deep speed at this event. All married though. The wedding rings they had on these girls' hands, I was like, finally, at the one lady kept on coming up getting gin and tonics. Any chick 30 drinking gin and tonics, you know, is a lush. And her wedding ring was so, it looked like this. Her wedding ring was this massive, it looked like an ice cube that fell out of my tray. And finally, I just said, hey, man, that's, I just couldn't resist. I was like, she was hot too. And her husband was drinking like white wine. And I said, I said, I got to be honest with you, that ring, oh my God. It's like, she goes, I know, isn't it really nice? I'm like, that's worth more than my condo. I mean, that's like a huge thing. So I was like, man, if you're shopping for a wedding ring, you go to one of these events, you just keep on walking around looking. But it was fun to do. I made some nice money there, the people of Ridgewood, for you do it for the kids. One last thing. What else am I doing here? Why did I write this name down? I don't know. Oh, also Lisa Ruane. Don't forget. Oh, you know what we didn't do? And someone pointed it out. Your attention, please. Wait, Kyle's writing here. Really proud of the Dallas Cowboys organization giving back to the community, signing an obese person to play running back. Warms my heart. That's great. But Kyle, I forgot. In my note, Kyle knows. You still haven't given the odds on my number. Hey, Kyle, you're supposed to be good at odds. What time am I going to finish in the 5K? Come on, be a man.
Over under. Instead of 31.
It's got to be more of a bet than that. That's the ultimate bet. That's like the pick six. I need to know, like, the American betting public.
Oh, then I'm setting it at 48.
So 48, the over
you
under.
You walked.
I walked it at 60, and I once ran it at 30 and a half. So Kyle, you know, he knows what he's doing.
45.
But I forgot to mention Absolute Eyewear, 42 Main Street, Woodbridge, New Jersey, 732-326-3937. Craig and Jeanine Michaud, family-owned, brother and sister, licensed opticians here at Shea. Craig was my center fielder. Your attention, please. Now available at Absolute Eyewear. Ray-Ban coach Ralph Lauren. Dave Sturcio's Jimmy Choo. Silhouette, Michael Kors Light. Vogue, Maui Jim. Costa Del Mar and Charles Oakley's kids are available to be babysat. Go there. What do we hear? Go there. Check it out. $100 off a complete pair. It's 20 years in the business. Absolute Eyewear, 42 Main Street. I know you're laughing at something right in the middle of my ad for Johnny. 732-326-3937. What are they saying here?
Crash Media came on and said, Jimmy has been talking about this 5K since last March. Crash Media is also known as Chris Gucci getting involved.
Oh, that's great. The Gooch is commenting. Robin Achani says 56 minutes. Oh, my God.
Columbo to collapse before finishing the race is currently trading at minus 145.
Listen, Darryl Clark. Listen, I'll shove this Lou Gehrig statue up your ass. You got to have some faith in me, bro. Well, listen, he writes a good point. Darryl writes, is your ankle hurt? I don't know. It hurt last year when I started to train. This year, so far, so good. But I got to be, I'm going to give it a shot. You know what? I can't believe everyone's against me. I swear to God, I'm going to sprint this thing, finish, and then drop dead. And you do the show for the rest. Tell you what. If I finish and drop dead under 31, you have to do the Jimmy Palumbo show. Just you alone, Palumbo show.
I'd rather drop dead.
I'd rather die. Oh, my God. I can't believe the gout. Oh, look at that. Gucci chiming in. Yeah, why don't you get another the stone? What does he get those the stones in his stomach every 5 minutes?
Kidney stones.
You know, by the way, you were like Embiid when you did the show, Chris. Every week I'd be like, I turn the mic on, what's going on? And Dave would be like, Chris got something out on his balls are aching or something. He's got to get surgery tomorrow. He's got to do this. It's like, what is this? Boy, Chris is on the field. He's a good player. He's never there. Anyway, I love Chris Gucci. We're just busting his balls. But I can't, Kyle, you got to give me, come on, give something we can bet on. Jeremy Jarvis getting involved. He killed it in pickleball this weekend. I did have fun. We got smoked in pickleball. We're in a better league now where everybody's really good. And we already lost the match. They already won 2 out of 2. I was the third match. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to fuck with these people. I started making jokes, pissing them off. I'd love to have them again, kick their ass. But Jeremy, you were sick too. You got smoked too. 27. Jeremy, listen, I love you. There is no way I can finish in 27 minutes. That's 4 minutes off my pace 15 years ago. Oh my God. I got to do that. Maybe I'll run. Is there a 5K down in Mattawan? Maybe I'll do it right in your backyard. I'll go down to downtown Mattawan. But we'll see. It's going to be between 31 and 60 minutes. We know that. I walked it in 60. Anyway. All right, Jeremy, love you. Chris Gucci, love you. Darryl Clark, I can't believe you have no faith. As we get closer to this, we have to do something, put some wager on it or something like that. All right, that's it. I got to talk it over. That's it. That's for our show. Thanks again, Darrell Clark, for the Lou Gehrig thing. I love it. There it is right there. I had a big audition yesterday for a show with Steve Martin. I should find out within the next hour if I booked it.
Wait a minute.
Murder in the building.
Dude. I literally know somebody in my wrestling world, one of my mentors, good friends, who actually was in it. He just cast. He was in a scene with Steve Martin.
Right. It shoots Friday. But I you know what? My audition. I don't know. You know what? I got the shot off. I didn't exactly pull a Larry Bird and call it. I got it off, but I don't know if it's right. Maybe I'll bank it in. All right. That's it.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.